Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, Amazing Spiritually Gifted Women. Thank you to Rhonda, Gloria, Mike, John, and Don for being part of the video. The scripture reading is Luke 8, 1-3.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Some community things going on. Lincoln Garden Club plant sale is May the 14th from 8 to 2 and somewhere in Vineland. QEW 57 on the service road. So I expect once you get that far, you'd find it. Community Service Day, May 17th. If you need something done, I expect you could still tell somebody like Amy or somebody. Dwayne Williams is looking for dorm parents. I think that's a paying position if you're interested. Happy birthday to Joanne, Ruth Zimmerman, who's definitely not here, and Mary. Happy birthday to all these people. Don and Barb's brother-in-law has a brother named Larry who has cancer in his legs. So please pray for him with his surgery. And Kate, her cousin Kevin, died this week. I have the impression he was in his 40s. He was young, I think. So this was kind of a sad passing. And our dear Gloria is in the hospital at St. Joe's, and the cancer spread through her abdomen, and now she's being fed on tubes, and so it's rough. I listened this morning to a talk, and one of the things that was said was that we're transformed at the crux of the cross, which, in the context of the person who was saying it, was talking about how we're transformed through our suffering. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think that a lot of people either turn away from God or turn closer to God through their suffering. And I look to Jim and Gloria, and I think about how they have been such wonderful examples for us through their suffering of being transformed more and more like Christ. And Ed saw Jim yesterday and came home, and he said, the first thing he said when he came in was, Jim is such a remarkable man. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I think that's what the church is all about, is we all suffer. And when we see others suffer and see their strength, it helps us when we suffer to also be strong and to rely on Christ and to be who we should be and the Christians that we need to be. And I think that's one of the, everybody suffers, and I think that's one of the main things that I get out of coming here is, they call me a rubbernecker, but I can see some of you who are singing with real meaning, and I know that you're going through tough things, and it's an encouragement to see that. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this day, and thank you that we have the opportunity to worship, and thank you that we have the opportunity to do it together. And we pray that we will continually draw closer to you and draw closer to each other, and that we will love you and love each other more every day. And we pray for Gloria especially right now, and we pray that she will rely on you and that she will continue to love you, and that Jim will continue to carry on and to be strong. And we pray that you will hold them in your arms. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to take you for a walk back to the old days in the 70s. For the young people here, that's a long, long time ago. To me, it's like yesterday. Anyways, there was a TV show back in the 70s. It was a detective show, and I've always liked watching police stories and such. But this particular detective had a haircut like mine, but he was even worse than me. He had no sides on his head. But he also was trying to quit smoking, so every time he wanted a cigarette, he would pop a lollipop and suck on that for a while. And he was just a really good guy. But whenever he finished the short, you know who I'm talking about, I believe. Anybody know? Kojak, okay. Anyways, at the end of the show, he was always with the person he helped, and he would say to them, "Who loves you, baby?" And I used to love hearing that. "Who loves you, baby?" And that's really a very important thing for us to think about this morning. Who loves you, baby? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have ever eternal life. For God sent the son into the world not to condemn it, but that the world might be saved through him." God loves us so much that he sent the best that he had to save us from our sin. Over in John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you." Greater love. Wow. And it was Jesus who went to the cross. We watched The Passion about 2 months ago, and I thought, wow, you just can't watch that and think, oh, that was nothing. He was God. He could handle this. No, he couldn't. It was a terrible, terrible experience. Yet he was willing to do that, lay down his life for his friends. And we are his friends if we do what he asks us to do. And so if I ask you this morning, who loves you, baby? God, Jesus. And when we forget that, we need to sing a song called "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." And that's what we're here for this morning, to remember the one who loves us so much that he gave his life for us. And his body was given, his blood was shed, so that we could live and be his friends. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus, who is our life, our hope. We thank you, Father, for the ability to be called his friends, and he brought us back to you through his sacrifice. And so we thank you now, Father, for the loaf that makes us remember that Jesus gave his body for us, and for the cup that we know his blood continues to continue to cleanse us of our sins. And we just pray that you will continue to bless us and help us to do your will, for we pray in his name. Amen.
This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them, that's Jesus and his disciples, out of their own means.
Good morning to all. Glad that you're with us today. Thank you, John, for those wonderful communion thoughts. There are many spiritually gifted women. They demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit on a daily basis. Many of our women here, if not all of our women here, demonstrate it on a daily basis. Love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and control. Some of us remember wonderful women over the years. How many remember Mother Teresa? A very tiny woman who humbly would go into terrible places just to come alongside people, to help people who were hurting and lonely and be with them. And then there are remarkable women in the Bible, many of whom we don't know much about. And I'm probably going to get a few laughs in heaven because these women, the names that I'm sure I'm not going to pronounce, they're in heaven and they're going to laugh at how I pronounce their names. But there's this woman named Jehosheba who rescued the nephew of Joash from his murderous mother. How's that for a movie? And then there was Naaman's servant slave, we don't know her name, who had faith in God and helped Naaman be cured of leprosy. He was reluctant, but she kept pressing him and pressing him, and he's glad he did. And then we have Joanna. Again, we know very little about her, who was put on part of Herod's staff, who followed Jesus, Joanna did, followed him to the crucifixion, followed his body to the tomb, and it was Joanna and the other women who were there first to see Jesus resurrected from the dead. And then we have Timothy's grandmother and mother, Lois and Eunice. So when we get to heaven, there's another couple of women we want to sit and talk to. What was life like? The Bible gives us glimpses, but remarkable enough women that they're in the Bible. And then we have, and again, pardon me for not pronouncing the name properly. I tried it all week long and I mess it up every time. Zelophehad, who had daughters who all had courageous faith. So never lose the wonder of God working in the lives of men and women. Which got me to thinking, nostalgically. Think of the women in your life who changed your life. Maybe because of their love for you, their teaching of you, scripturally, Bible stories, and a variety of things. I did this past week. I just shut everything off and thought of people that I'd forgotten about. But God brought them back into my life at a remarkable time, at a very, very young age. My parents would attend the church at Omaha, and there were wonderful women teachers. There was a woman there by the name of Wilma Johnson, who was a wonderful, easygoing teacher. I don't know how she ever did it, because there was about 17 of us young guys in that class. And, we wanted to talk about hockey and things like that. And she let us talk, but she would always bring us back to Jesus. And it was just this encouragement. And there are other people. I think of, Barbie is the most spiritual woman I've ever known. And she, I get up and talk. She's the one that is a living demonstration of the Spirit of God. And I think of other people. I think of all of our ladies here. And I want to go way back. The first time I started preaching on a full-time basis was in 1978. I was going to a Bible college, and I was driving over to Portland, Indiana. It's about a 45-minute drive. Lovely, lovely, lovely people. And they encouraged me, and I would preach on Sunday morning, and I'd preach on Sunday night, and then travel back and so forth. And people were very kind and very lovely, but there was this one woman whose name is Lucille Bechtold. She stood about as high as this pulpit. She was a grade one teacher for something like 45 years, and she was sane, which was amazing to me. Remarkable, remarkable woman. And she knew the scriptures very, very well. And she was always an encouragement. And I remember every Sunday after preaching, she would come up and take my two hands into her two hands and say complimentary things. But she was also very truthful, because on occasion, she would look me in the eyes and take my hands in her hands and chat nicely. Oh, I appreciated that point and so forth. But Don, I think there could have been a better scripture for that, because I think that maybe you didn't use the scripture to the point that you were trying to make. And so I just said, give me the scriptures, let me learn. And she was just remarkable, a lovely, lovely, lovely woman. And there are others in your own lives. I think of other people, many women who share spiritual thoughts at communion that we have here on a regular basis. So it brings me back to what is said in Scripture. You remember at Pentecost, Peter gets up and he says exactly what Joel said. If you read Joel and then you read Acts 2, same thing. In these last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. Prophesying is preaching. It is declaring the word of God. Prophecy is not just 7 years from now, this is going to happen. There was very little of that. Think of all the Old Testament prophets. Only Daniel was the one that really talked about future events. Most prophets were preachers, men and women, who spoke to the people of that day what God was sharing. And it's true today. Prophecy is foretelling the word of God. For example, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, a promise of today and the future. That's a prophetic message. And it's so encouraging to me as I went through scriptures and was reintroduced to women that I'd really forgotten about in the scripture who just declared the word of God. And they weren't shunned, they weren't pushed away. How many of us remember for many, many years growing up in churches, only men would stand up behind the pulpit and only men would pass the emblems and all those sort of things. And we've kind of grown and learned from scripture that no, God's spirit is poured out on all people, spiritual gifts to men and women alike, sharing the word of God. So let's just be somewhat nostalgic today and learn about some women way back even in the Old Testament who were quite profound. Some of them you'll remember, some maybe you don't know. First of all, there was a woman who was a prophet, preacher, declaring the word of God. Her name was Deborah. Judges chapter 5 in verse 3 says this. She was a no-nonsense preacher. Hear this, you kings, Deborah says. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. And then she says, village life in Israel ceased, meaning they weren't following the word of God. Village life in Israel ceased. There was no more worship. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. And she corrected them. When our people chose new gods, war came to the city gates, and not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing volunteers among the people. She arose an army of people to stand fast, to believe the Ten Commandments of God, the direction of God, how to live our life in pleasing to God. And then there was a woman, and again, I'm not sure that I'm going to pronounce it, J-A-E-L. If that's J-L, I don't know. But in Judges 5, in verse 24, these powerful words, most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, most blessed of the tent-dwelling women. In verse 35, she says, so may all your enemies, God's enemies, so may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but may they who love you be like the sun when it rises in strength. Interesting words there. And then some of us remember the crossing of the Red Sea of the Israelites. And Moses was leading the way, but there was someone else who was with Moses. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, Moses' sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Now you have to picture this in mind. How many Israelites were crossing over that Jordan River? More than a few. Thousands and thousands and thousands. How long did it take them to get across there? We're not so sure. But everyone got out crossing that Red Sea. And what happened to the Egyptians? Every one of them got in the water and never got out. It's a remarkable story. And so following that, then standing on dry ground, Miriam, the sister of Moses, the prophetess, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her, picture this, with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." I don't know what kind of tune that would go by, but remarkable, remarkable. And then there was this other woman, and again, I had to reread this. I kind of remembered the name, but didn't remember the story behind it. There's this prophet of God by the name of Huldah. How many remember Huldah? Me neither. So it was a remarkable story. For many years, the book of the law, the Bible, was lost. So here's what happens. The Israelites had a way of following God and God showing his love for them, helping them, guiding them, and then they'd fall away. They'd want to start worshiping idols, and they want to start doing this and start doing that, so much so that they even lost the altar of God. They lost the Ten Commandments. They didn't even worry about it anymore. And Huldah, a prophet of God, for many years, the book of the law was gone. So Israel started doing things they shouldn't have done, as we said, followed idols and so forth. And finally, years later, the book of the law was found. Now, I don't know if any of you watched the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. And there's this, the ark, they find the ark. And that's the most, you know, powerful thing. Well, I won't tell you the rest of the story, but that was the event, to follow the ark. And there was this passion always that wherever the ark would go, the Israelites would follow, and it was together. But finally, it was lost for years, and Israel didn't know where it was. And finally, the book of the law was found, but no one knew if it was really truly the book of the law. And here's what Huldah said to them. "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and they've burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all the idols their hands have made. My anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord. This is what the Lord of God of Israel says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would be accursed and laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place." So they took Huldah's message back to the king. And then in 23:4 it says, "The king ordered Hilkiah, the high priest who should have known better, to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made of idol worship. God had been forgotten. The book of the law had disappeared. But every once in a while, there were prophets who would respond, and many of them were women. Great preachers in the Old Testament, great words spoken by them. And many of us remember, again, a remarkable story. How many remember Esther? A servant girl who becomes queen. Esther was a servant in the house of King Xerxes, a powerful king, and yet a king who worshipped idols. And Esther served the Lord, and King Xerxes chose her as his bride. So he was beginning to learn about the Lord God. But there was jealousy among the servants, particularly by a man named Haman. Some of you remember the story. Haman despised Esther. And Haman secretly plotted a plan to annihilate all of the Jews. And if the king said, that's okay, that would mean that Esther would be killed as well. So Esther approached the king, who didn't know anything about it. If I have found favor with you, O king, and if it pleases your majesty, grant me my life. This is my petition. And if it pleases your majesty, spare my people. This is my request, for I and my people have been sold for destruction and slaughter and annihilation. If we had merely been sold as slaves, I would have kept quiet, and no such distress would justify disturbing the king. And the king asked her, who is this who will want to destroy it? Where is the man who has dared to do such a thing? And she says, it was Haman. And that sealed his fate and saved all of Israel. The king created an edict granting Esther and all of Israel in every city the right to assemble and to worship. And you know, to me, what's remarkable is throughout this world, we have that freedom. We don't live in a country that we're told you can't worship. You can't be part of it. We're so grateful to God that even though the last couple of years have been kind of strange, we live in a great country. And we have men and women who love God and many here who have encouraged us throughout all of those years. In the New Testament, there were women who declared the word of God. Let me give you a couple. In Acts 21, verses 8 and 9, Paul, on one of his many journeys, stayed in the house of Philip, the evangelist, who had four daughters, who all four of them prophesied. They declared the word of the Lord. And in Romans chapter 16, which is sometimes a tongue twister, there's a long list of men and women who served the Lord in a powerful way. There was Phoebe, not Phoebe from Friends, but Phoebe, who was a servant of the church of Cenchre. Paul commented about her by saying, I ask you to receive her in the Lord in every way worthy of the saints. Give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. And then says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles. Men and women. Andronicus and Junia. They are outstanding among the apostles. And then it says, and greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. greet Philogus and Julia. So we don't know too much about them. And yet here's Paul saying, these are apostles. These are wonderful women who dedicate themselves to the word of God. And then there's the story of Lydia, a woman who listens to Paul's teaching, and she responds to the gospel and scripture and says, she and the members of her household were baptized. And then Jesus first appears to Mary Magdalene following his resurrection. Think about this. He could have appeared to anyone. He could have appeared to anyone. He didn't appear to Peter at first. Didn't appear to James. He first appeared to Mary Magdalene. Listen to the story. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And was asked this question, "Woman, why are you crying?" The angels asked, "Why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" She said, "They have taken my Lord away," she said. I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" She, thinking that Jesus was the gardener, said, "Sir, if you have carried Jesus away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. See, one day, you and I will stand and see Jesus for the first time, face to face. Many of us feel like we know him, but it's one thing to know him to the best of your ability, and then it's another thing to see him. To see him. And we will. She turned and cried out, meaning teacher, and we'll see him. So let me wrap up. In conclusion, there's been confusion and conflict in churches regarding the Apostle Paul's restrictive passage of Scripture regarding women not speaking in worship, not to teach or have authority over a man, but rather keeping silent. It appears that there were women who may have been disrupting the worship service, causing confusion and conflict, and asking questions during the worship. So Paul requests them to be quiet. Let people learn in peace. I would also suggest that it would be true for men not to start asking questions during the worship and disrupting the worship, but to allow the word of God to be shared in reverence. That's my take on this. I want women to be silent, but I also want men to be silent. Don't disrupt the worship service. If you have questions to ask, ask questions after. But don't disrupt the service. I think that applies to both men and women. Because Paul writes specifically and significantly all of the women who helped in ministry. So he wasn't changing his mind. And instead of a restrictive passage, I think he's correcting people who are speaking out loud. And as we know, in our congregation and many congregations in the world, there are powerful, spiritual women who are humble, kind, and loving, who share the word of God. So that's why I wanted to share this message with the conclusion of reminder. In these last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. That's declaring the word of God. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. It's taken us 2,000 years to get as far as we are. Men and women equally declaring the word of God. And I can't thank you enough, men, and specifically today, women, for everything that you have done for us in this place and will continue to do so. You have changed people's lives eternally for the good. Amen.
One thing that I've enjoyed doing, only because I was challenged to do it, and I have to be one up on Jim, Julie's brother, he's challenged me to do a daily Bible reading. So we've been doing that, and you go through the Psalms and all that, and then you realize your own mortality, and at the times that through the Old Testament that you cry out to God, and God rescued the Israelites, rescued David, rescued whoever appealed to him for mercy and help. And that's no different to us today. It's we make the same appeal. We let's call upon the Lord as we go throughout the week. We're going to be strong. We're the ones we're going to fall. But if we keep calling upon the Lord, He's there for us. And this is our blessing through Christ Jesus. And one more thing I'd like to mention is it's been a rough 7 years for me through two strokes and several eye operations. This is another step forward by me being up here. And I just want to thank this church. You are you're everything to me, because I couldn't do it. There were times when I said to Ed, I said, I can't pray anymore. I'm done praying. That's all right. We'll pray for you. And your prayers have done wonders, and God has answered. And thank you very much for all your help in many ways. And you guys are a blessing to me. Even you, Al. But we'll never hear the end of that one.
Let us pray. Thank you, God, for all you do for us, and thank you for saving us and for loving us even though we don't deserve it. And we, this week, God, we want to be living sacrifices for you, and we pray that you will help us to that end, and we pray that you will fill us with discipline and fill us with self-control and give us people that we can reach out to and help us towards the end of being your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.